The scripture reading today comes from the book of Matthew, and Matthew chapter 17, and verses 1 through 9. Matthew chapter 17, and verses 1 through 9, and I also will plan on reading from John 3:16 through 18 a little bit later in the message, the sermon. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said, "don't be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Word of God for the people of God. Amen. Now, last week I spoke about the previous chapter's verse about Jesus going with his disciples to the region of Caesarea Philippi. And he asked the disciples 2 questions. And those 2 questions were, who do people say the Son of Man is? And the second question is, who do you say I am? Now, that first question is easy to answer. It's always about what somebody else's opinion is or what they have done. And it's just sharing those factual thoughts or information. But when Jesus pinpoints and says to his disciples, he asks them directly, "Who do you say I am?" It becomes on them, not what someone else thinks or says. It's now all on what I believe and what I think. And what supports that, even Peter responds with the Messiah. And it's correct. He is the Messiah. But we also see that Jesus answers this question again for us here. He answers the question for us. In this act of the transfiguration, in which they go up on a high mountain, and there they see before them Jesus, whose face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. All right, that white as light is to reflect on us that he is without sin. There is no blemish. How many of you have ever burned or seen burning magnesium? Have you seen that? It is a bright light, isn't it? I mean, if you can imagine a bunch of magnesium burning at the same time, it might blind you. It's so bright. It would hurt your eyes. But this is to speak about Jesus being without sin and that he's taking on and showing us and displaying to the disciples and to us that he's without sin. That his clothes became white as light. Who else did they say something about that they said that his face shone bright? And that's Moses, isn't it? After the conversation with God and when he came down from the mountain, that they said his face shone bright because he had been in the presence of God. But that was a reflection. That wasn't him shining forth. It was the reflection of Jesus, of God shining forth upon him. And here he is mentioned just as the question of who do people say the Son of Man is? And they reply, John the Baptist, the prophets, Elijah. I think could also include Moses here as well. And it does mention, though, specifically Elijah. There's importance to this for us, more than I will say in this sermon even. And they go, it's good for us to be here. And we'll build three shelters, like they were somehow equal, Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. And they're just trying to do what they think is right. And a cloud enveloped them in this moment. And a voice from the cloud, this is God the Father in heaven, who says, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. And immediately, Moses and Elijah are gone, and it's just Jesus. So who is God the Father talking about? Jesus here. Listen to him. There is no equal to Moses or Elijah here. Jesus is the one that is shining bright here. Jesus is the one who is, shines like the sun, and whose clothes become as white as the light itself, without blemish. Not the others. And so the answer to this question Jesus is giving them in this moment of who do people say the Son of Man is, that doesn't really matter. It's who do you say? And he's revealed to them what God the Father in heaven is saying. This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. So we need to listen to the words of Jesus, don't we? We need to listen to the scriptures that Jesus also referenced and listened to as well. We need to hold the book in high reverence, don't we? Because we hold Jesus in high reverence. Now it says here, whom I love. Now this isn't the same love that we see in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It's not speaking in the same kind of love. This is the same love that is spoken of concerning where it says, yet he loved one and hated the other. And this was a family in the Old Testament, and you would see that several times. He loved one and hated the other. It had nothing to do with what we would deem love and hate, but what was approval and what was not approval. So it was always in reference, this love was in reference to the coming Messiah and the lineage by which the Messiah would come about. Jesus is referring in this moment by saying, this is my Son whom I love. This is my preference for this world. Jesus. No one else, not Moses, not Elijah. They're just a foreshadowing of the one that is the true Messiah. And he's giving a visible, tangible way for his disciples to see this, and for you and me to see this even today. This only goes to confirm things like when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. All of that confirms Jesus' plan of salvation for you and me. Now, I'm planning, if it all works out, I want to have one contemporary song for Easter Sunday and in our service. Brenda's now first hearing this, okay? So we'll have a conversation. So On Friday, I probably listened to an hour's worth of contemporary songs. And one of the things that that I was listening to, it just didn't fit right. I mean, it spoke about, I came out of the tomb, and over, and some other words and things like that. But you see here, when this scripture says, listen to him, our salvation is about what God has done and our response to it. And the song just kept going about, I came out of the tomb and basically my, sins were, done away with and that sort of thing and become victorious. But the one thing that was missing that I really wanted to hear at Easter, and I've got one that's good or two that'll be fantastic, and our own singing that we're singing too through the choir and the music, Christ the Lord is risen today, was I wanted to hear, he came out of the tomb. And because he came out of the tomb, I can come out of the tomb of sin and death too. I wanted to make that connection. And to some degree, this was just all about me, me, me. And I need it to be more about him, him, him. And because we are to make the focus him, 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 it's up to Jesus. He's the one that's making it about me, 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 you see. And I get that. I get the song. It's not a bad song. I'm not saying that. It just didn't evoke everything that I wanted it to say about Easter. Because our focus is on what God has done for you and me. Now, I can say that about some of our traditional songs too as well. So it's, you see, the focus needs to be on Jesus. Listen to him is the focus. The focus is on Jesus. John 3:16, and y'all, you know it. I dare say probably there's no one in here that doesn't know John 3:16 or 17 or 18. And that it even says that if we do nothing, basically we're condemned already. So it is through the very blood of Jesus and his love for us, true love for us, that we... that whosoever will can be saved. And it doesn't say certain groups or certain age or certain gender or anything like that. You know, it's everybody, whosoever believes in him, listens to him. What was it? It used to be the guy with the multicolored hair who would show up at football games. And he'd hold up a big old sign that said John 3:16, and you'd see it while some guy is kicking a field goal, because he would be there, doing this and his crazy multicolored hair like out to here. And it was Tim Tebow who put on eye black a number of years ago at one of the big NCAA games, championship game or something like that, and they said there was 3 million plus people or 30 million people that looked up the verse John 3:16. Now that's good and shocking at the same time, that people had to look it up because they didn't know what it said. But it's also good that they looked it up, isn't it? And heard what it said. And had the respect from Tim Tebow and his integrity that they would listen to those words. Why did God make you and me? What am I here for? Do we know anybody that's 120 years old? Does anybody here know anybody that's 120 years old? How many people are 120? Have any of y'all known or met somebody that's been over 100 years? Well, a number of you have. Wonderful. I've known two people who've lived over 100 years. One person was blind, 104, had her mind and had somewhat her health, but she couldn't see to get around well and needed assistance. Great, great and wonderful lady. And God doesn't give us 120 years in pure health like we were 10 years old or 20 years old, does he? Our health declines, doesn't it? Our sight may go. Our heart might not work as well as we hear. Our brains may not work as well even. In Genesis 1:1 said that God created you and me. So God created the world. God created the universe and all that is in it. And each time he said what at the end of his creation, he said, "It is good." Meant perfect. Literally means perfect, folks. It's good. And then when he created man, meaning men, women, people, he says, "It is what? Very good." Not just good, but very good. Why very good? Why is that placed in there? It's placed in there to describe that we're different than all the rest of the creation. That we're made a level above everything else. And that we're made in the very image and likeness of God. That's why very good, very right, perfect. But we messed it up. We're the ones who sin, not God. God didn't bring sin into the world. We brought sin in separation from God. And we're born into that. And God made us for relationship with him. I think in Genesis it speaks to how Adam walked with God daily. There's a man named Dick Pranecki who decided at 51 years of age, you've probably seen his stuff on PBS, where he lived at 51 years of age, he went to live in Alaska and he built his cabin there, a 12 by 12 cabin, and he built some of his own tools and made some of it, made a door, made his own jelly, made his own lots of things. And ever so often, his brother would fly in and give him some supplies and so forth. But on the whole, and by the way, over 30 years, he only made about 2.5 hours worth of video. 30 years, 2.5 hours. I mean, he could have videoed a whole lot more, but they say he wrote lots of volumes. And can you imagine being alone for 30 years? Alone. No one to talk to. Maybe he did talk with God this whole time. Maybe he had a Bible with him and he spoke, but still, alone. 30 years. I don't know how to be alone for 5 days, you know. If Amy goes off somewhere to visit her family and I'm by myself, I don't know what to do. I call her. What do I do today? I mean, outside of the church work, I start to wonder, what do I need to do today? It's not that bad, but yeah. Amy's going, yeah, it is. And be alone. That's why God made the church, so we're not alone. God made us families, so we're not alone. whether you have children of your own or not, or if you're an aunt or uncle or whatever. You've got family, parents, family. We're made for relationship, and God made us for an eternal relationship so that we're not here just for 120 measly years, that we're here for 100,000 years and a million, billion, trillion, quadrillion, plus on and on it goes. Forever and ever, where there is no sin, where there is no corruption, where there is no evil. That's what God has in store for you and me, forever and ever. Well, it makes 120 years seem like a short time, doesn't it? There's this new thing out, this commercial. Alexa Plus. Some of you may have seen this commercial. It's of a, in this case, it's a woman in this commercial who's getting dressed or getting ready for the day. It's a clean commercial and wholesome kind of. And she's having a conversation with Alexa Plus. Almost like Alexa Plus is the girlfriend, and she's having conversation about what to wear and about somebody and so forth. And they're just kind of chatting back and forth to one another. And I just look at the absurdity of that. I don't want to talk to a computer. I don't want to have a face-to-face with a computer. I want to have a conversation with God. I want to have conversation with one of you. I want to have conversation that is meaningful and productive and has substance to it. Not something that spews out some kind of information that seems friendly, but behind it, it is hollow. Jesus, God made us for relationship and one that is forever. Listen to Him. Listen to Him. I've shared this, I know, with you once or twice before. I know some of you here haven't heard this. Early in my ministry, when I lived in LaGrange, went to visit one of the elderly ladies in the church, and one of the pillars of the church and matriarchs of the church. I knew her family, gotten to know them, and some of them went to other churches, her children, and were well established in the community and well thought of, and would come for homecomings and special occasions at the church, and I'd see them around town, and I knew her and knew her well, and she was there every Sunday, and knew exactly where she sat on Sunday mornings. It was always the same place, and she was always very friendly. When I went to visit her, not the very first time that I visited her, but after several visits, she said, "John, there's something you don't know about me." And I said, "Okay." And she went on to share that you've met my children, but you haven't met them all. I have one son that you've not met. He left here 20 years ago. He just came to me and said, I don't love you. I don't love the church. Don't believe in God. I'm going to go off and do my own thing, and I don't want to have anything to do with any of y'all." That wasn't just, I'm just moving down the street. This was almost hatred back to his mother and to the family and even to the church. I don't know what happened or anything, or if anything even happened. But anyways, you could see the hurt in her eyes and how she wanted that to be righted. I think if she were to be offered something that would get him back. She didn't know whether he was living or dead, by the way. He didn't know where he lived. He could have lived 5 miles away. He could have been dead 20 years. He could have been, you know, living in China as far as she knew. Do you think she would have dug into her pocketbook and pulled out a dollar and said, I'd give a dollar to just see and hug him again? Mm-mm. I think she'd have sold everything. Everything that she possessed just to be able to know where he was and to embrace him one more time. Listen to him. He's the one who has offered relationship with you that is forever and ever. And he has given his all for you. And all we have to do, all we have to do is say, yes, Lord, forgive me of my sin. Let me be made in your image and likeness once again. Let us pray. Gracious God, we indeed come before you not in loftiness and not in arrogance and not in selfishness, but in this moment we prepare our hearts to come humbly before you and repent of our sin. And Lord, we desire to listen to you, so that we might listen to you not just today, but through your church now and forever. May your blessings be upon us as we partake of this, the communion that you have provided for us, the very body and blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.